From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. I'm willing to bet that, let's say every entrepreneur has at some point thought this. It's, I have an idea that I just know people would like, but how the hell do I turn it into an actual business? That is such a simple question, but at the same time, an infinitely complex one. You have to take this idea and build an infrastructure around it, one that amplifies the idea and makes it even more compelling than you'd originally thought and creates so much value that people will pay for it. And then you need to figure out how to scale all that so that your idea can keep growing and thriving. And there is, of course, no formula for any of this. There's no blueprint that will work for everyone. It all comes down to the tenacity of the entrepreneur and the potential of the idea. But I can tell you one thing that is universal and that applies to every entrepreneur who has ever grown a business. It is this. The path will not be straightforward, and you will succeed or fail based on how well you adjust along the way. You need to launch, see the strengths and weaknesses of your idea in the real world, figure out a way to make it better and stronger, and then repeat that process over and over and over again. And if you want to see what that looks like in action, then let me take you all the way back to the recession when a guy named Brian Kelly wanted to escape his boring HR job.
Yeah, so I was working on Wall Street during the Great Recession, but I was still traveling a ton, raking in tons and tons of miles and points, but my salary remained stagnant. So even though I was flying first class with Madonna on weekends, my actual, you know, I was points rich and cash poor. And my ex at the time was like, you're so good with our miles and points. And, you know, everyone at work would come to my cubicle to, you know, get help using their points. And it really dawned on me that, you know, everyone has points, but no one knows how to use them. So I decided to put together a consulting business where instead of doing it for free for everyone, you'd pay me $50 and I'd tell you how to use your miles and points.
That consulting business would eventually become The Points Guy, which is a huge name if you're the kind of person who travels a lot and cares about how to make the most of your credit card points. And if you're not, here's what you need to know. The Points Guy is arguably the most well-recognized and influential site in the credit card world. It gets 4.1 million monthly unique visitors and grows at 40% every year. It has more than 2 million followers on social media and attracts huge talent to help it grow. The CEO is the former CEO of Gawker Media. Their new head of strategy is from Refinery29, and in 2012, Brian sold The Points Guy to Bankrate, though he retains editorial control and a vested interest in the company, all of which is to say it got a lot bigger than offering consulting services for $50 a pop. But how did it go from $50 consulting services to this big media company? That's what we'll explore here today, because hearing Brian's story is like watching someone build a skyscraper by first building a little hut, tearing it down and replacing it with a house, then tearing that down and building again and again and again. And while not a blueprint for every entrepreneur, of course, because there is no blueprint, it should serve as a model of just how to do this kind of thing, how to keep at it, how to keep banging that idea into place. So let's start with the consulting service. He launches it as a side hustle, and it's just a little online form where people can explain the miles and points that they have and what they want to accomplish. And if Brian can help them, then he will. And after a while, he starts to get a lot of referrals, and he's starting to bring in a nice little stream of income. And he thinks, you know, let's see if we can make this bigger.
Then I expanded it to you could pay $150 and get a half hour on the phone with me, and I would go through your credit cards and, you know, your point strategy. So it was basically I was working like 20 hours a day.
Yeah. And that sounds like that's not scalable.
My dad, the best piece of advice he's given me is learn how to make money in your sleep. It's got to be about advertising. I was in HR. I didn't know anything about digital advertising, but I did know that I had a skill that people in the marketplace wanted. So a friend of actually a spouse of a coworker was a SEO specialist and WordPress developer. And he was like, dude, you got to be blogging. If anything, the blog, right? And through Google search, people will find you and then you'll get more clients. And my goal at that point was to get more clients and then just hire people in the miles and points world to work under me. And then I would just be managing a team of people, helping people book awards. But that was a lofty goal, and one that I quickly found out, A, it's really hard finding people that know this knowledge, and, you know, monetizing it, even if I doubled my prices, wasn't going to be the huge payday that I was looking for.
So you can see how Brian is already realizing something important. He's outgrowing his business model. His idea works. It's something that people want, but the way he's doing it just won't ever make him enough money to make this whole thing worthwhile. A blog seemed like a good idea, but it also seemed like a risky one. Because let's not forget, people are paying Brian for his expertise, and if he starts just putting all his tips on his site for free, you know, the thinking goes, what will be left for people to pay for? Brian could have easily fallen back onto this old saying, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. Like, even if something is bad, it's still less scary than trying something new. Brian's story is proof of just how bad of a philosophy that is for entrepreneurs, because think about it. Launching a blog might have been a bad idea, but what was the alternative? Staying with a business model that he knows doesn't work? He could make no change and guarantee failure, or he could make a change, and even if it isn't the perfect solution, he could learn from that change. And that's the key. You move, you learn, and you adjust. When you stay still, you do none of those things. So Brian launches the blog in June of 2010, and, you know, it does okay. He adds Google AdSense to it and makes a couple $100 a month on advertising, which was nice, but not exactly life-changing in New York City. But the site drew a lot of really engaged readers who left a ton of great comments, and it helped Brian confirm that, yeah, this is content people want, and they trust him to give it to them. So that was a valuable lesson. Now, where to go from there? Maybe a premium newsletter.
And we would actually send the blog posts and deals of the day to our readers before the public. We would give them, I think, a 3-hour advance. And actually, people did sign up for it, but it was a ton of work, right, then to make sure everything was edited in advance. And we were sending out manually every morning. And once again, it added an incremental amount of revenue.
So now Brian is really antsy. He has this idea, people love it, but it's just not making enough money for him to quit his job and do it full time. He needs yet another business model. And then a friend calls him up and suggests one.
And then it was February of 2011, a friend who worked at Linkshare in the credit card affiliate marketing space forced me to go out to drinks with him and say, he was like, you understand how much money there is in credit cards? It's kind of like the holy grail of affiliate marketing. And by the way, you're linking directly to all these companies and they will gladly pay you.
What happened next? We'll get into it right after this word from our sponsor. Best Self makes products to help entrepreneurs perform at their highest level, and that includes smart tools like a dry erase 13-week wall calendar. But their most popular product is a beautiful journal, which entrepreneurs can use to help organize their time, set and achieve goals, and so on. I've never journaled before, so I asked Best Self's co-founders what top tip they'd give me, and it's this. Devote 5 minutes every morning to it. You can do as much or as little writing as you want. No pressure. Just create the habit of spending 5 minutes thinking about your day, your needs, your time, and your goals. The journal helps you step back, which is certainly something that I could say I could use a little reminder to do. Find their products at bestself.co. That's bestself.co. And now onto our second sponsor. I have to tell you something crazy about FreshBooks. Something that, no kidding, made me laugh out loud with glee when I heard it. So, okay, here's the setup. FreshBooks makes cloud accounting software for freelancers and small businesses. Manage your invoices, track your expenses, even keep track of your work down to the minute so you can accurately and easily bill clients. And as I was talking with them, they got to telling me about their customer service. Call anytime between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern, and you'll get a real live person, never a robot. And I was about to say, oh, thank you, that is such a difference maker, but like that's not even the start of it. Everyone who works in FreshBooks starts in customer support, so the entire company is trained in customer service, and if a user calls the company's customer service line and nobody picks up after 4 rings, literally every phone in the company starts ringing. Every phone. Can you imagine this? And whoever picks up is trained to help you out. It's just, it's so beautiful, I'm speechless. See this in action for yourself by signing up at freshbooks.com/PS, that's PS for problem solvers, and be sure to enter problem solvers in the how did you hear about us section. All right, now back to the show. Okay, let's explain what's going on here. Affiliate marketing, if you don't know, is when an online retailer pays a commission to a website for traffic or sales. Amazon is probably the biggest player in this space. So if you go to, say, a fashion blog today and click on a link that takes you to Amazon and then you buy something, that blog is probably getting a kickback from Amazon. And credit card companies are willing to spend quite a lot of money on this kind of thing because getting new people to sign up for credit cards is hard. And here Brian was already linking to their sites and probably turning a lot of his readers into credit card customers, and he wasn't making a dime on that. So his friend says, you know, it's time to get in the game. But understandably, this worried Brian because affiliate marketing can be something of a minefield, especially back then. You know, this was 2011. It was still a pretty new and widely looked down upon idea. And also, he worried that if he was making money by functionally selling credit cards, the credit cards he writes about, his readers wouldn't trust him anymore. But, you know, again, what is he going to do? Stay with a model that doesn't work? So he tries it. He puts big disclaimers on his site to make sure that people understand how he's going to make his money. And then, very nervously, he waits to see how people react. And it's totally fine. If people like what you do, I'm telling you, they don't begrudge you making a living. Your fans want you to succeed.
But what it boils down to is, you know, would you rather, if you're going to get a new credit card, would you rather give, let's say, $100 to a billion-dollar bank or $100 to this small company that's cranking out content every day that saves you tons and tons of money? So I think it's a pretty, but it did take a while. I was, you know, wary of becoming the snake oil salesman.
Frankly, in entrepreneurism, you have to do things that make you uncomfortable sometimes. I mean, this is just not a business for people who like to stay in a comfort zone. And we're not talking about anything illegal, of course, nothing untoward. But hey, if affiliate marketing is a way to make money off of this idea of his, then what's the harm in exploring it? And he does it. He signs up and starts making money whenever anyone clicks on his site and then signs up for a credit card. And that money is definitely more than he was making on regular ads. But still, you know, it's the old story. Is this the solution? The thing that's really going to make this idea work for him? Not just yet. And then, one day, he's reading the New York Times and sees an opportunity. The paper's Frugal Traveler columnist at the time, Seth Kugel, had written that points and miles make no sense for frugal travelers. And Brian is like, oh no, that is not true. So he reaches out and he says, hey, let's talk. And so Brian and Seth meet up and they talk. And a month later, Seth writes a column about the points guy.
And that same day, there was a big credit card promotion with Chase for the British Airways card, 100,000 miles, which was revolutionary at that time. So I was writing about the offer and why people who didn't even want to go and fly British Airways, you know, they're partners with American and their old program was super lucrative. So I had a blog post about how amazing that credit card was, because it truly was. And at the same time that thousands of New York Times readers were coming to the site and sharing the article. So that was the day that I quit my job. And I don't know exactly how much I made that day, but it was definitely more than my annual salary at Morgan Stanley.
So there, finally, Brian knows what works. Affiliate marketing could earn him real money so long as he was able to get enough media attention and create enough viral content to keep driving new readers to the site. But was he done? Figure out the solution and then just kick back and enjoy it? No, of course not. Because why just be an affiliate marketer when you can work directly with the credit card companies? I mean, here, through the consulting business that turned into a blog that turned into a newsletter that became an affiliate marketer, Brian has built an audience that's really enthusiastic about credit cards, which is literally the most valuable group of people for a credit card company. So over the years, the points guy starts building direct partnerships to help launch new credit card programs. And it culminated last year when they got a call from Chase.
Last year, they were secretly developing what is now the Chase Sapphire Reserve, which I would probably say is the most significant credit card launch ever in the credit card industry. Really compelling value proposition. They were offering a blockbuster 100,000 points for the sign up. And they came to us in advance. We worked with them, you know, under NDA to create kind of a viral sensation for that. So they decided to not put any money into TV and traditional print, like most credit card launches, where they worked with us and we created this fever pitch in the market. We integrated social media into the launch. It went viral. We were even doing Facebook Lives with their head of product to help create it. So readers were, for the first time ever, and they actually, the kind of the feather in my cap was that before it launched, Chase confirmed the rumors because it kind of leaked. And Chase on their Twitter said that the rumors are true. The Sapphire Reserve is coming and the points guy has all the details, linking directly to our site. So not only did it just boost traffic, but it was our credibility, right? We were no longer a blog. We were now an official partner of one of the biggest credit card companies in the world, and they chose us to partner. And you can look at all their financial statements. We blew it out of the water.
And that, finally, is how a little idea really blossoms. I mean, think back to it. At each step, Brian took a risk and made himself uncomfortable. He learned something new, figured out what he was still missing, and then adjusted accordingly. And if he didn't do any of that, he'd still be working at his HR job and answering questions for $50 a pop until midnight every night. And that would have been a big waste of a great idea. And that's our show. Problem Solvers comes out every week. So to make sure that you don't miss an episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you love what we're doing, please also leave us a review. It totally helps us reach more people. That's our problem solving right here. And of course, there are a lot more stories like this one, along with practical advice on how to start and grow a business in Entrepreneur Magazine and on our website, entrepreneur.com. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Our producer is Nathan Latka. Again, my name is Jason Pfeiffer, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Let me know what you think about the show. You can find me on Twitter at @HeyPfeiffer, H-E-Y-F-E-I-F-E-R. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.